Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. This is Loveline, the Billboard syndicated show of the year for the second year running. Right, Drew?
Oh, there's been a great celebration of that fact.
Yeah. You know how that affects our life, winning it 2 years in a row, Drew?
It points out to us that nobody gives a good crap about us.
That's right.
That's
because
right.
We never hear anything or read anything. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight we have Padgett Brewster, Larry Joe Campbell, and John Cryer, all from The Trouble with Normal, new sitcom on ABC. Friday nights, 8:30. And it debuted last Friday. I saw it, and I, for one, enjoyed it. Thank you.
Now let's don't say that defensively.
Let's go to the phone.
I enjoyed it. You gotta work on your intonation there.
I enjoyed it. What? So shoot me. So sue me. I liked it, okay? Okay, I was drunk, but I thought it was good. Drew, you know I sit home Friday nights and watch TV, right?
Well, have you continued to, even since they took Sabrina off?
Yes, because I light a candle and have a silent vigil, too. Not only that, but Step by Step is really the show I'm missing.
Your weekend is shy.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're basically dancing on the grave of Step by Step.
You really are.
What was Step by Step?
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
I apologize.
That was Suzanne Summers vehicle.
Yeah.
With what's his
Patrick
name?
Patrick Duffy.
Patrick, huh? A man from Atlantis.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's a winner.
Yeah. And Sasha Heifetz. No, Sasha
right.
Mitchell.
Oh, boy. Now you're digging. You're digging deep now onto the roster.
Hey, I'm going on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire one of these days, and I'm going to win.
I have said this many a time with Step by Step, which was... You know, that show ran for like 8 or 9 seasons, and people on season number 7 must have gone to Suzanne Summers and said, do you ever want to get back into television, into doing a primetime series, or are you just pretty much content with the infomercials and riding it out that way? I mean, how many people you figure went to Suzanne Summers and says, you want to go back and do a sitcom when she's in year 7 of a primetime series? How uncomfortable must that have been?
Nobody saw that show. Who watched?
I watched.
Okay.
Friday nights.
You were the one. Giving me a bunch of guff for not knowing what it was.
TGIFNF.
While America Slept, that show ran
I was
for
home.
7 years.
The Trouble with Normal is, why don't you guys explain it? I could explain it.
Well, I'd love to hear your explanation because.
Well, okay. There's four guys, and they're all pretty whacked out, but in a TV way, not in a real slit your throat. I'm a junkie, and I have very bad skin way, but that. I think I'm Napoleon way.
Yes.
And I've said to Drew many a time, think what a utopia this would be if we could get, you know, crazy people could go back to thinking they were Napoleon. You know what I mean? Instead of attacking you at the ATM and putting like a rusty shiv in your side, they would just walk around with that big hat with the tassels hanging off it. planning on invading Russia. You know, I mean, those were the days where crazy people just thought they were Napoleon. But these are four crazy guys, and Padgett is this social worker, therapist.
Yeah.
Way too good looking for
a
therapist.
Oh, he did see the show.
Way.
Hey, excuse me. I have a hot therapist. I just want to say that. I've not seen her in a couple of months, and she's concerned. She called me with this concerned thing, saying...
Move in tighter on
the mic. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
therapy. Is this tight enough for
you? John's talking about his hot therapist.
your personal,
she's a very pretty lady.
Your personal therapist
My
is hot.
Personal therapist.
Distracting?
No, oddly. It makes it titillating.
Oh, but do you really tell her the truth? Do you really tell her the truth?
Yes, I do. And that's actually kind of arousing as well. Actually telling this attractive woman the truth.
Your wife is
Are we talking about
I know,
real
she's
life?
Kind of hilarious.
Yeah, in real life.
In real life.
Yeah. My therapist is attractive, too. If he could just shave his beard, I think we could really start something. Hey, Drew, you'd be glad. I was at the therapist on Tuesday. You'd be glad to know I promised him I'd read a book, or at least go get a book sometime during the week.
I know you get the book. He won't read it.
I know, but I just got to get it to appease him.
I understand. I told you to discuss your compulsive masturbation.
Oh, how dare you speak that way in front of our guests? You realize how long the ride is going to be home with John Cryer? I picked up John and drove him here tonight, by the way.
Not out of love, but out of the fact that I'm across the street.
Yes, more out of gravity than out of love, because John lives directly across the street from me.
I'm so sorry, John. I'm so sorry.
It's
John,
not
have
terrible.
You had any trouble with me?
I've had no problem, other than you walking around shirtless behind the hedge, so that it leaves to the imagination whether right. you're wearing pants or not.
It's like a Benny Hill sketch.
Exactly.
I stand behind the hedge in water, and John's lovely wife looks at me and lets her vivid imagination run wild.
This is like one of those movies on Showtime at 2 a.m., you know. It's anyway, you know...
So at home, you pretend Sarah is your therapist and she pretends you're Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Ew.
That's that is solid. No, I'm a quiet man. I keep to myself. You don't hear any loud music playing.
I don't. I haven't heard the screaming...
Right.
Of the women that you're stowing.
That's
good.
I drug the hookers before I bring them up to the house.
I bludgeon them.
I run a very tight ship.
The chainsaws only happen at, you know, between 9 and 10 at night.
And other than, you know, you must, I'm down in my garage a lot when you drive around. I'm a very, very homey guy.
Exactly.
Thank you. Drew?
Yeah.
All right. You got a call figured out?
You know, I'm working like crazy trying to get this stuff up on the computer screen.
Can I ask him a question while he's working on the computer?
You want to ask Drew a question?
Yeah, sure. Seriously, isn't it bad if you're attracted to your therapist?
No, it's actually, it's completely normal. That's a part of the process, is coming up against all that. Yeah, the part of the transference. And so therapists must hold that boundary. That's why when therapists act out sexually with their patient,
that's
it is such an
so
awful
illegal.
Violation. It's such a terrible, destructive part of, it's what you'd call iatrogenesis. I mean, it really causes more harm than they could ever do good.
Yeah, that's what I'd call it. I'd call it iatrogenesis. The hell that you just
said. Yeah, I know, because if you ever got a BJ from her, you'd be ruined. You'd be emotional cripple for the rest of your life, right?
Yes, yes. It would be a nice few minutes, but then an emotional handicap.
All right.
Parking for me.
Drew?
The rest of my life.
Yeah?
I'm just going to take these lines. Drew's in San Francisco, by the way, at our fabulous...
Live 105.
Right.
And, they're great up here. They have good coffee, nice people.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Beautiful equipment. It's like a real radio station.
Okay. Fantastic. So we're going to go right down. I'm just going to start at line one. We'll just go in chronological order. Devin?
I am the great cornholio.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You will give me TV for my bungalow.
All right. All right. Hey, can I hang up on you? Are you
kidding me?
All right. Unacceptable. I'm hanging up on you.
That's a good start. Way
all
to go,
right.
Adam.
Drew, I'm going from line one down. That's all. Justin?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, let's see. For like maybe a year and a half now, I don't know why, but it's like, whenever I get around, like, a girl that I like at all, I have, like, this big problem about talking to her. Because, like, it seems like everything I say is just, like, the stupidest thing in the world.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is. I mean, maybe it's not just your imagination.
That.
Maybe you really are an idiot.
I wouldn't doubt that, but, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'd go with. Stop doubting yourself. You're an idiot.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you're a full-blown jackass.
I can't
give yourself some credit.
This is horrendous.
All right, Padgett, what do you do?
You're a fine, normal young man.
But I mean, women really, they don't like an insecure guy, do they? Be honest.
No, in the sense that everyone is insecure, and yet if you display
I like an insecure woman.
Men prey on insecure women.
Yes, I look at that as a
different.
Weakness, mm-hmm. And I look at a woman as not a potential lover, but an opponent.
Oh,
I see that weakness. I see an opening. I try to exploit it.
So they've progressed from prey to opponent.
Yeah. Yes. I'm making work in my therapy.
That's more respectful,
right.
In some way.
Right. Yes.
Sadly.
It is. Sir, we shake hands when we're done.
But what kind, Justin? Are you still there?
Yeah.
What kind of things do you say?
I don't know. It's like sometimes I'll just, like, my mind will go blank, and I'll just say whatever comes to mind.
But that's fine.
That can actually be very charming.
Yeah.
You're 19.
Unless it's stupid.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Okay, sorry.
Justin, where are you talking to these women?
Like, I don't know, everywhere.
Okay.
You go to school, you work?
School, yeah, work, you know.
Are you a virgin?
No.
Oh, you're not?
How dare you?
How dare you?
Yeah, what happened? I mean, was some chick passed out at a party and you just helped yourself, or how'd it go?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Listen, the ironic thing about a guy calling who says he has difficulty talking to women, he also has some difficulty talking to us, which makes for a bad call.
Well, why don't you let the ladies in the studio give him some advice at least?
Well, we only have one lady.
But Ann's there. Is Ann still there?
No, Ann's not here tonight.
Oh.
All right, but good call anyway.
Larry could do a female voice.
Larry, do a female voice.
At least you're talking, Justin.
That works.
There you go.
There you go.
Listen, don't work on a rap with women. Paget, you correct me if I'm wrong.
Well,
women want to see a guy who's doing his own thing, who's successful, who's busy being successful and living his life, and then they will magically find you. But don't go up to a woman with a rap.
Right. That's why I would say that a woman, I think, I mean, it's a huge generalization, but I would say I prefer insecure men over overly confident, I've got a rap
guy. Well, but the overly confident guy is more insecure than the insecure guy is.
Yes,
you're just
but
getting
as far
a rap.
As outwardly insecure, somebody
right.
who's kind of stumbling on their words and a little, that can sometimes be humble and charming and,
sure,
and self-effacing and cute.
As long as he shaves his chest and he's built.
But now, but
and
what
he drives
what,
an IROC Z?
What if the rap is an insecure rap?
Ooh,
see,
good.
I see.
Good.
Oh, that you can spot that. Guys
really?
Do that all the time.
The fidgety sort
oh,
of.
Oh God, yeah.
Gosh,
that they don't.
Know.
You're so beautiful. They don't know, you know, how to talk to you. You can see that. You know, they've worked on that.
Yeah.
What do you mean they? Okay, you're saying me.
You
I've
people.
Done that.
Have you? I bet you have. Have
oh,
you done
sure,
it?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, see?
Well, you get the spontaneous outburst of, I'm sorry, I've never, I don't know how to, I'm talking to you now, but I'm,
see,
but you're
I would
just
know.
Beautiful, and I just had to say something.
All right, but what,
and,
what other angles John going to play? I mean, if you think about it. I mean,
well, well, I could say, you see Pretty in Pink? You know, that's always a good one. I'd whip that one out.
I'm an independent filmmaker.
That would work.
I'm working on something right now that you might find very interesting.
I'm casting something in my underpants right now. Jay?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, Dr. Drew. Hi, Adam.
Jay,
hi, Adam.
Hey. Oh, you're 14. What's going on?
I called last time about can you get AIDS from pre-cum, and you told me to slow down because I was 14. Well,
from pre-cum.
For those of you who don't know what pre-cum is, it's the burst of air that comes out before the semen.
No.
Like a Hawaiian blowhole. Like, you know, when a whale surfaces, and then the semen comes flying out.
No, I just was laughing because of course, I get the look from Paget going, what's pre-? And
I
leap
the
into the breach.
Right? It's like
no,
some kind
it's
of
waiting.
No, it's semen.
It's semen.
It's semen,
but it looks thinner.
Thinner, oh.
Yeah.
But it's got lots of, loaded with sperm, packed with
plenty
sperm.
Plenty of sperm. Really? I didn't
that's
know
right.
that.
Well,
see,
then the answer
good.
Would be yes.
And nougaty goodness, I hear, as well. Drew was telling me that when he's drunk on the plane. I don't know what he meant by Jay?
Yeah, I meant to say
yeah.
swallowing semen, and you told me yeah, but now.
There have been a couple cases where it's now finally been proven that it can be transmitted that way through oral sex.
Yeah, you told me, and now Adam told me to slow down, which I did. And me
you're
and my
14.
Me and my boyfriend have slept together, and he's 20. And I went,
oh,
and you
yeah. yes, you, yes. You get AIDS, you get everything. You get cancer from a penis before your 16th birthday if it goes in your mouth. It's true. It's considered a carcinogen.
Yeah.
What?
Carcinogen. That's right.
Oh, that's, my God. That's,
I lost my sister that way. It's true.
Yeah.
Was there still? I still don't get the question. No.
Well,
can
Jay,
you get AIDS from pre-cum?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
You get it from everything. Why are you going with this 20-year-old guy?
Because I love him.
Oh, really?
Mm.
No, I don't believe you. Something's
you're
up.
Gay.
Where's your dad, Drew? Please.
Next door.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
Is he a good guy?
To me,
no.
So far.
All right.
Were you sexually abused as a child?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
This 20-year-old's a criminal. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you started having sex with this guy?
A few months, right before you told me not to, I did it.
Oops. I blame Dr. Drew, actually.
Drew, you want to try another, like, a reverse psychology strategy? Listen, it's time to move up to cornholing, young man. You're no longer a child anymore. All right, Jay? I'd like cornholing. To see some of that. All right, listen. Hey, Jay? Listen, this is the kind of thing that you think is good right now, and it feels good, and you're an adult, you feel like an adult and all that, but when you get older and you look back on it, you're going to feel like you're taken advantage of, you're going to regret it, and you're going to...
I think I was taken advantage, but not really.
Oh, give yourself a few years.
Yeah.
Wait till you get a little bit older and look back on it, and then you're going to feel angry, and you're going to feel ashamed, and you're going to wish you'd listen to us.
Is verbal abuse like... part of my childhood because my dad is verbal abused.
Yeah, what happens is that if kids are either emotionally, physically, or sexually abused, they become sort of ripe candidates for rape, for childhood sexual abuse. And I suspect somebody got their hands on you.
No.
And,
I'm the only
that's
child.
What I mean. It's, and we're not saying that's what rendered you gay, but that's what's got you at 14 going off like a, you know, in this incredible trajectory.
All right. Hey, Jay. All right. So the last time you called, we told you to slow down. You didn't slow down too much, so
mm-mm.
Could you please listen to us this time and do that?
I'll try.
All right, Jay.
Bye.
All right. Good luck,
Jay.
Bye.
All right. I don't know why
condoms.
He's calling,
condoms,
by
condoms,
the way.
Condoms. I don't know either.
Yeah, but how big an idiot, how big an a-hole is this 20-year-old?
Oh, please.
That you is, know that what is I mean? Illegal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, whoops.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure that's what they said. They said, ooh, whoops.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I just gave him a blowjob. Whoops.
Whoops.
Put that on a cart, please. Gino?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 29.
Yes, I am.
You're perfectly named.
Yeah.
What's up?
Just wanted a couple more opinions on something here. I've been dating a girl for about 2 months now. It's going on 2 months. First month, first thing I did wrong, I think, is I showed too many cards too early. About some of my, stuff in my personal life. Nothing bad, but just some, things
yeah,
about
it. I know
life.
How it is. You mentioned you killed the drifter
yeah,
on the first
like
date,
that.
And all of a sudden they get all judgmental on you. I made that mistake.
But during that first month, things probably got a little bit too hot and too heavy quickly because, we're trying to build a relationship and things aren't solely based on sex. But in the second month, the sex has dropped off quite a bit. And while things aren't totally based on sex, this is not just a platonic relationship. And I'm just wondering...
Well, how often are you having sex? And then a guy's named Gino, I've read the dad on, need twice as much sex as guy's named Phil.
So is that what it is my name then?
Yeah. Guy's named Gino need a lot of loving.
I mean, we see each other, or at least talk to one another every day. We probably see each other every other day, so maybe like 3-4 times a week. And it's not, I don't expect sex.
You're not in the Gino area, my friend. You're actually letting the other Ginos down. You're blowing the Gino curve.
Well, now how many times a week do you have sex with your girlfriend?
Well, lately, not at all.
What's the question?
I have no idea.
I'm wondering, I don't want to be a jerk about this. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot by trying to press her to, to increase the amount of sexual activity. While at the same time, I am physically attracted to her. And I'm just wondering, maybe a couple more opinions on how to maybe voice some of that. Is there a way to voice that without being a jerk?
All right.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I do. She doesn't seem all that interested in him, but he wants more love. And we'll talk to Padgett about this, which is because she's a very beautiful woman, and I'm sure she gets hounded for sex all the time. Tonight's going to be no different, by the way.
So far it hasn't.
But women hate being hounded. For sex.
Mm-hmm.
What they want, if a woman cuts you off sexually, she's looking for you to change your behavior, not bug her for more sex. Am I right?
Or she wants out.
Or she wants out.
It sounds like it's just not a relationship that's working out and they rushed into it too fast, or he did, or they were trying to, quick, let's make this be an everlasting and...
Yeah, he got a little needy, a little grabby, but either way, he has one card to play, and that's the start being a good guy card. Not try to convince her to give him a BJ card.
Yeah.
But the...
He's got to... Yeah.
Listen, it's important to pretend like you're listening.
Yes,
John,
exactly.
John was telling me that on the ride in.
his strategy for radio?
It's
important to pretend you're listening.
Feign attentiveness, he said.
Yes, exactly.
But this is what women complain about all the time, is that men aren't romantic, whatever that means to that particular woman.
Yes.
And he's got to figure out what that is. And
right.
It's mostly being available emotionally and just being attentive and making
and
him
feel
special.
You have to ask, too. You have to say, look, it's not that I need it every minute, but I'm curious, is there something going on that you want to talk about? Or
horrible.
It works.
That's not
the strategy. Most men would not do that, and that would work.
That would work.
Because if she wants out, it gives her the opportunity to say to him,
really?
This is what's going on, and I don't know it.
You see?
Because women are raised to be nice all the time and
don't. You see, Adam? See?
Yeah, but
between
wait a minute.
Between that and the sensitive rap, I get over like nothing ever seen.
Do you think Gino is going to be able to pull that off, that conversation, without getting into...
I don't know.
Come on. Whatever money I got in my wallet, I'll give you right now for just a quick reach around. Come on. It's not poison.
I thought you were going to say BJ again.
I almost said BJ, but I switched it up on you. Like a great pitcher. You think fastball, I come with curve.
But the fact
and
that
then
he...
reach around. And then I throw in a handy every once in a while. Just to keep the batters off balance.
Yeah.
All right. But I just think guys have to start figuring out what women want, and that's not that's sex, but not the same way you want it. And what I mean is you have to start being attentive, you have to start listening, and you have to start being sort of present, and then you'll get some.
Maybe.
But then there are some men that would say if he backs off now and doesn't call her,
right,
she'll flip out and think he's moving away, and then she'll come after him. So
he can do that too.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
one,
a good one.
A or B, Gino?
Don't you think?
Yeah,
I hate to say it, but women, they fall for that.
We'll take a little break. The Trouble with Normal is the name of the show. ABC Friday nights, 8:30. We have a little more than half the cast here, and we'll be back after this.
I want his job.
Padgett want to know if I wake up at 3 in the afternoon. And then what I do is I get down, I get nude, and I hit the yard.
Exactly. That's what I figure. You have the life.
John's wife, Sarah's usually going out to collect the mail about that time.
That's what that big shriek is about 3 in the afternoon.
She secretly digs it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm sure she doesn't.
She is the coolest chick on earth.
Yeah, she really is. Yes. She really is great. We talk through the fence, and we always... make some plans about getting together, but it never happens.
That's the great thing, because she keeps the link alive and makes sure that it's impossible to actually follow through on it.
One of these days, I'm going to get drunk and get my pellet gun out and do some serious damage. Some serious damage to the Cryer household.
Just steer clear of the woodwork, okay? The mahogany is tough to replace.
That is beautiful. John lives in a beautiful home up there, Drew. Beautiful mahogany woodwork.
Neat.
Yeah, not like that 80s trash you live in. This is real. This ain't the Pergo family hut that you're in over there. This is real old-time craftsmanship. You understand that, Drew?
I understand.
Okay.
Dick.
John Cryer, Larry Joe Campbell, and Padgett Brewster are all here from The Trouble with Normal. That is Friday nights, 8:30 on ABC, part of the new lineup with the Finnegan men and the Norm and the Brennigan guy trio. What the hell?
Two guys and a girl,
yeah. Which is, I like to call it the little show that could, because nobody put a lot of stock in that show 14 years ago when it hit the air.
Price had you on it.
I was on that damn show. I guest starred on that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
So did I, actually, once.
Yeah, I was, I played myself. I wasn't convincing, but I was all over the show. Remember that, Drew?
Ridiculous.
Thank you. All right. Norm, which is a show I like, not because it's a great show. I just love Norm MacDonald. I really do. And not as a human being. He's a horrible alcoholic gambler. But, well, he'd admit that. But he's funny. I like the guy.
I like that Laurie Metcalf, I must say.
Yes, she's talented. All right, Drew, we ready to keep rolling here?
Just keep going one number after the next.
All right.
No special order, as you say.
All right, you don't have your screen up there in San Francisco?
No, it's driving me insane.
Sam?
Yep.
You're 18. What's up?
I masturbate once every 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh.
Congratulations.
That's fantastic. How
old are you? 18.
You can do it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even think about it more. And the worst thing is, I'm not having sex or hand jobs, blow jobs, anything.
How old are you? How
18.
18. Yeah. You just may not have the most pronounced sex drive. That's, you know, I mean, I don't know, Dr. Drew, is there an area that you have to hit, you know, in
your
terms
belly,
of...
I think. Sometimes it's so
I was just going to say, statistically, is there an area you have to hit in order to be a normal human?
No, I'm not sure that, I mean... That number must be out there, but it's not something that's sort of usually discussed.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Well, this is the place to discuss it if ever there was
average?
A place.
For an 18-year-old once a day, come on. Yeah, I'm scared you have a tumor.
I think it's more like two, three times a week.
Two or three times a week at 18?
Median, average, yeah.
No way. No way.
I understand you and your friends were on some sort of holy tear.
Yes, you'd be thrown
year after year.
You would have been thrown right out of our club, and we would have demanded our jacket back. You're no longer one of the jackers.
The jacker jacket?
That's right. Rip the stripes right off the lapel, slap you across the face with the gym sock, and it's back to your house.
But is our caller still there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you want any medication?
No, I'm not.
Do you have any medical problems?
No.
Normal puberty? Puberty came out at normal time, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Your normal height and weight?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, why don't you get with it a little more, see if you can...
It depends on the context, whether or not it's something medically relevant.
I mean, it might actually keep you from doing a lot of stupid crap, because let me tell you, needing to do it often at that age made me do some stupid stuff.
And that group that Adam hung around with, they became insane. They literally started doing crap.
That's right. We were crazed. We robbed a sperm bank once. We turned to crime. We had an insatiable appetite for sperm. it's no different than any drug.
Yeah, but
that's why they got to legalize it. That's how the mob took over.
Whatever excrement you can get out of your guy's body and throw at each other.
Speakeasy.
The jacker menace.
All right. Drew, how dare you? John, you can't see into my house, can you?
No, because your house is perched high on a hill.
Yeah, once in
it
a while.
It's mine that you can see into.
I try to make it from the den up the stairs in the nude and wonder if John is anywhere to be found. All right, where the hell? Chris.
Yes, sir.
You're 23.
Thanks.
What's up?
I have a friend who is being physically abused by her ex-boyfriend, and she won't press charges or do anything about it, so I want to know if there's anything I can do or anybody I can contact or anything that I can do to help her.
How is she still having contact with him if it's her
ex? Well, he's trying to get her back, and she's not doing a very good job of ignoring him, so she lets her in his house. She takes rides home from school from him, stuff like that. So when he gets her alone, he knocks her down, he grabs her, puts bruises on her arms, stuff like that. So she's got bruises on her arms and neck and, like, rib cage and stuff.
And you're just her friend? Do you like her?
I dated her for a couple of weeks, but it was too psychotic, so I got out and...
She's chaotic.
Yeah, she's got...
Because her dad was abusive?
I don't know, but, you know, this guy has pushed her down in front of the dad, and the dad doesn't do anything.
That's nice. Also, the girl must be dealing with something like that because she wouldn't put up with it if it hadn't been reinforced somehow.
Where do you live? In her life.
What's that?
Where do you live?
Sacramento.
I would suggest you call the police and ask for their help because domestic violence in California is a huge issue. And actually, if you know something like this going on, you have an obligation to report it.
Well, I know, and that's what I want to do, but...
Yeah, call social services, but I would call police.
All right, but hold on a second. Here's my feeling about everyone calling the police for everything. That means less police for me, who needs the police every once in a while, and who pays more taxes than all you slackers. So stop calling the cops for everyone all the time. It drives me nuts. Cats in the tree, call the cops. The refrigerator, it looks like it's leaking. There's some kind of fluid coming out. Okay, get 911. Let's get the cops up here. All this domestic stuff, get out of harm's way. You tell her, Chris, to get away from this guy.
She doesn't buy it. She won't.
Can you get her steered toward therapy? Because, you know, this is going to continue.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe a women's group, survivor group.
If her alone, it's going to be somebody else eventually.
Of course. So as a friend, why don't you try to steer towards some therapy or something like
that? Okay, Drew, I have another quick question for you.
Yeah.
Is there any hotline or anything I can call to get a referral for a, like, relationship addiction support group sort of thing?
What do you got going? Is that for her?
Yeah, what is he looking for?
I'm looking for, like, a support group for people who... like, can't deal with themselves when they're not in a relationship.
Oh.
Is that her still?
No, that's me.
Oh. Wow.
Did you have an addict parent?
Father was an alcoholic, but sober okay. when I was probably one, and has yeah. been perfect ever since.
I would just say you just start with Al-Anon, because that really helps heal that part that causes that sort of intense need for a relationship to fix you.
Hey, Chris.
Uh-huh.
We're opening a Sacramento chapter of the Jackers.
Yes.
I don't
do
know
I get
if
a
you're
jacket?
Cut out of the right.
Do I get a jacket? He said.
You got to earn the jacket.
You earn the jacket.
If I can get a jacket, I'm in.
It's sort of like those gang initiations when all the guys sort of pounce on the other guy, but it's got a little twist at the end. I can't mention the bylaws that don't permit me from mentioning it over the air, but it's
what is the caller's name?
Call the twist, you know?
What's your name, caller?
Chris.
So hey, there's also Love and Sex Addicts Anonymous.
Okay.
And that is another way of going. Again, it's a very cost-effective. It's free, and if you get a sponsor and work the step, it tends to heal some of this stuff very nicely.
How do I contact somebody for that?
I would just check with the local AA.
Hey, Chris,
uh-huh.
Listen, grab yourself, get yourself some help, and, you know, do what you can for your friend, but if she ain't going for it, she ain't going for it, and part of your work is steering yourself away from helping her.
Okay, so, I mean, once I...
That's good enough.
Yeah.
Please. I mean, Jesus Christ, we want to go over there. Todd?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Here's what's going on. Before I even get started, hello, Adam, Drew, and to your guests.
Todd.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Adam, do you figure Todd's going to last till 40? He's Todd.
Oh, you know my theory of, yeah, no man named Todd over the age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
So you're all there's no grandpa, old man Todd, there's no old miner. Would you shut up? Shut up, idiot. Jesus, people act like I don't have a button that can just cut them off. It's the best part of this job. Chelsea?
Uh-huh.
Caller goes by the name of Chelsea, you're 14.
Yeah, I have a question about herpes.
All right.
Wait, before I lost my virginity, I've seen, like, this blister-looking bump on me, like, down... by my vagina and everything.
It wasn't herpes, though.
Well, I know, but now, like, they're worse or something like that. They're, like, well, more.
How old are you now?
14.
Hey, you're Drew, sexually active? Drew.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Grab a scratch pad there and write everyone's name and age down,
you know,
please.
What? You say it so quickly, and there are other people talking. It's sometimes hard for me to hear.
Grab the scratch pad anyway.
I've actually got it in front of me.
Uh-huh.
So you are sexually active now?
Mm-hmm.
And... listen, if you're sexually active, you need to go have a pelvic exam, right? Right?
What's that?
That's okay. Where your pelvis gets examined.
Doctor needs to go. You're at risk for cervical cancers and different diseases because you're sexually active. So it really becomes important now that you begin having regular gynecologic examinations. No, I think the probability of this being herpes is very remote. Because it's the same thing you had before you started having sex.
Well, what do you think it is, Drew?
Just like a Bartholin cyst or a sebaceous cyst, something like that. She doesn't know what herpes looks like. But it should hopefully motivate you to go in and get your regular pap smears, because you need to get contraception and you need to get checked regularly if you're sexually active.
How old is the guy you're having sex with?
Well, I'm not having sex with anybody right now.
Oh, you just had a little slip-up?
I guess.
Okay. That's all right.
How old was he?
49. How old was he?
What, the last person?
Oh, okay. Oh. No, the combined age of the last two guys. 106. Okay, listen. Hey, Chelsea?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to give this message not only out to you, but everyone who calls this goddamn show. I know you think of yourself as some sort of riddle that we want to get to the bottom of. Here's the point. We don't care. I'll hang up on your ass. Start answering questions or we hang up. That's it. I'm not interested. How old is the guy?
The guy that lost my virginity.
Okay, that's it. I don't care anymore. I don't care.
Ouch.
I've tried and tried. All right. Yes, the guy you lost your virginity to.
Okay. He was 14.
All right.
And I was 12.
Ooh.
Oh,
ooh.
Ouch.
Now it's slipping.
It was 2 weeks before my 13th birthday.
No.
Oh, well, that's okay. Better. Okay.
But it was a very week different. Before his 31st birthday, which is different because he was hopping. And what about the last guy?
The last guy? He was 15.
All right.
Well, at least you're in your ballpark. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean,
but
it's heartening.
You do want to go and have a gynecological exam.
Just
It's your little rose bush, honey, and you want to take care of it.
That's right. So. You know, you got to weed and seed or something. You got to prune. I don't know what you do. You know,
sure, pruning is...
Once in a while, someone comes over and explains what I'm supposed to do with my rose bushes.
I'm trying to be tactful.
No, I know you're using that as a euphemism for the vagina,
yes.
Which I appreciate, but I'm actually talking about my hedges. And I go, well, what you got to do is, you know, next time it rains, you got to go out at 4 in the morning and bring, now, don't use tweezers. And it's called cross-pollination. I'm always like, okay, listen, I'm going to go inside and smoke pot. Right? Whatever goes on out here. Let God do the work. All right, we will take ourselves a little break.
How dare you interrupt my Cheez-It riff.
Jackie?
Yes?
You're 18.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
My boyfriend and I have been together for 6 months, and after about 3 months, we started having sex, and we lost our virginity to each other. And in the beginning, we had sex a lot of times, all time and stuff, but now it's like he doesn't want to do it anymore, even though he likes it.
How often?
Well, about once a week.
It's just a little below average.
How old is, well, for an 18?
He's
old
19.
Is he? You know, 19, that's well below average. And
again, is he on medications?
No, he's not.
And how long did you say you were together?
Just 6 months?
Yeah. It shouldn't be dropping this fast.
Yeah, usually that stuff's emotional. Usually that's...
For a man, not quite so much.
Uh-huh.
Well, you see, because I used to initiate it, and he didn't like that because like, he thought I was like a bit too forward in that, so I said, okay, fine, you have to initiate it. And so he's like, okay, whatever. That's when it just like stopped.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I tried that too. Initiate it. And now.
So,
I did the hand countdown in 5.
Action.
All right. Now, that was good for first try, but let's try the initiation again and this time have fun with it. Come on. All right, so it didn't work when you cued him to initiate.
No, I mean...
I see.
I mean, but the sex was better when he initiated it.
Sometimes you hit the person with a wicker stick and yell at them, initiate. I tend that help. That tends to help. All right, Jackie, maybe he's checking out. Maybe he's not so interested in the relationship.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, about 2 weeks or so before, like, our six-month anniversary, we got in a real big fight, and we almost broke up, but we ended up getting closer at the time, and then it was just kind of like, we got closer, and then he left for school, and it was just bad.
Okay. Ooh. Hey, Drew,
chime in
here. Here's the deal. When you get in a relationship at 18 or 17 and a half, you have this feeling like it's supposed to go on forever.
Right.
But when it starts hitting bumps about 6 months, and they end up stretching out another year, but really... They should just sort of see the signs in the road. He's going off. 18, he's not initiating.
Yeah, you don't know how to end a relationship at 18. You don't know what the signs are. The relationship is over. You share a fantasy that's going to last forever.
Right.
And you know, if 5 years from now, you wouldn't let this relationship last 8 weeks.
Yeah, that big fight you had the other night should have ended with one of you saying, I don't think this is working anymore. But it didn't. And consequently, it's still sort of up in the air.
But it is true, and it's weird. I mean, remember when you graduated high school, you made all these announcements that you'd be back every month to visit all the teachers. when homecoming rolls around again, you're going to be up there in the stands waving your banner and everything. And it's like that was 16 years ago or something, or 20 years ago, forget it. You think in a nostalgic way, like a preemptive nostalgia when you're 17, 18 years old. You're going to keep in touch with everyone.
Well, it's grandiose. It's omnipotent. Yeah, it's like, this is the best friend.
I'll never forget
situation.
You. Yeah, it's everything's St. Elmo's fire.
Right.
It's basically, you're 19. Right. There's Hans Zimmer banging away in the background. Who the hell did that thing?
It was Parr. It was Michael Parr.
Michael Parr.
Thank you very much. Who wants to be a millionaire? I'm winning.
On his Casio in the background, and you think it's all going on forever?
Line 3.
I could be a man in motion. All I need's a pair of wheels.
Yeah. That was
song
hot.
About a guy in a wheelchair. Whatever.
Julia? 19.
Julia?
Hi.
Julia?
You're 19. What's going on?
My question's for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I didn't have my period for like a year.
Uh-oh.
And so I went to the doctor, and we got some blood tests, and my hormones were all weird.
Uh-oh.
Well, my estrogen level was really low, but my pituitary was like normal. And so
do they think you have a prolactin secreting tumor?
See, he said that I have something, because I got an MRI done on my head.
Right.
And I have something on my pituitary.
Right.
And he couldn't really see it because it's really small right now.
Those are called microadenomas, and they're usually prolactin secreting. But they did they you haven't been lactating anything like that?
Drew, are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
No, I haven't been lactating.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. Is there something that's going on inside of her skull that's creating this?
Yeah, she's got a little growth in the pituitary, and sometimes these can be controlled with medication.
Well, he said it was really common, but I wasn't, because I don't know anybody who has this problem.
It's common. It's a common medical problem. It's uncommon in the sort of out in the real world, but I would suggest you see an endocrinologist, and there are those that specialize particularly in pituitary disorders. There's a medicine called bromocriptine. If this is a prolactin-secreting tumor, that sometimes when you take, they shrink right down very nicely.
Okay, honey, get a pencil. Endocrinologist.
Yeah.
E-N-D-O-C-R-I-N.
Because sometimes they also... There's another
wants to be a millionaire.
Well, no, I'm just saying because he was talking so fast, you know...
Thanks, Sean.
No, seriously. You were talking really fast. And you were talking about it, and then the gland will secrete this, but it's prolactin, and the blah, 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 blah. Right. And give the girl a chance. She's got to find an endocrinologist, for crying out loud. Write it down, woman. Write it down.
Okay, I got it.
A cantaloupe-sized tumor in her brain, Drew. How is she supposed to focus?
They used to actually go after these and surgically remove them. They're less likely to do that these days.
All right. Well, they can control the medication. Julia?
Yeah.
Talk to a specialist.
Okay.
And stay
endocrine,
on it.
Gland specialist.
All right.
Well, can it cause problems with having kids later on? Because they put me on the pill, and so I have my period, but...
Yeah,
like,
they should be able to... No, you should be able to have restored fertility.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Drew, where are those glands? All over the place?
Which ones?
I don't know. They're always checking your neck. You know what
those
I mean?
Those are lymph glands. Those are different.
And then you got the ones under your armpits, right?
Those are lymph glands. The endocrine system is not the lymphatic system. That's very different.
Well,
wait,
no,
is the pituitary gland above your ear?
No, it's right in the middle of your head. Right in the middle, like behind your nose, kind of.
Oh. Nice. All right, so I could get to it with a chopstick and a 40-ouncer.
and a drill.
And a drill. That's I don't want to give away too much, but part of the initiation of the Jackers. It has to do with the endocrine gland. It really does. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Nick is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew's in San Francisco, but he's got the calls lined up on the computer over there. Is that true, Drew?
That's true.
Fantastic. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. The cast of The Trouble with Normal is here tonight. John Cryer, Larry Joe Campbell, and Padgett Brewster are all here representing the show.
Please.
Friday nights, 8:30, ABC. All right, Drew?
Yeah.
You got a call? David, you're 16. What's going on?
Yeah, my girlfriend is turned on by gay porn,
mm-hmm.
and I want to know if that's normal.
No.
No? Well, I know it's kind of normal for guys to be attracted to lesbians, although I'm not myself. But I wonder if that was, like, analogous with girls.
Hold on. Have you been sucking ether or something tonight?
I'm just kind of nervous, you know, nationwide radio.
I see.
But it's interesting that she's attracted to gay porn, isn't it, Adam?
Because David has a little touch of that in his vocal cords.
You're gay.
Hey,
David, are you gay?
No, I'm not.
A little bit?
Nervous and gay are easily mistaken for each other. You know how it goes.
Right.
Well, no, it's not normal, I don't think, for women to be into that, but I don't think it's nuts. I mean, some women dig what they dig, you know?
Right.
Sometimes that which is taboo is what turns women on.
Yeah.
And
very
if
true.
She was raised in a place that said gay sex is wrong, then it can be kind of dirty and titillating to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Where her parents are religious?
Not really. They're just kind of, I mean, they've gone to church, but they're not real religious.
Are they gay men?
Pardon?
Are they gay men? I was being facetious. I'm sorry. I apologize.
So they're
why
not...
Is David sounds 29.
Yeah, David, are you really 16?
Yeah, I am.
What size is your shoe?
I'm a 15.
Size
wow.
what?
A 15?
15. Oh, 15. Oh, you're 16? It'll be size 48 by the time I get 21.
Yeah, I'm 6'4".
Really?
Oh, man. See, that's it.
Yeah.
Playing some basketball at school?
No, I don't really.
You got really?
A little lurch in you.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of gay, hell would you like to have a little lurch in you? I mean, that sounds like a gay man's nightmare.
You right. Yes. I that's a gay porn title.
You're Wang. I got a porn movie called Madam's Family. It was hot. I can lend it to you if you're having a trouble with the old lady.
No,
I know what it's like with the kid and everything.
Kind of puts a damper on the porn watching.
I'll tell you what we could do, John. We could easily work this out.
Okay.
John Cryer's my neighbor. I could work out very easily from my upstairs office just a pulley. And nylon string. And,
and
all
a
I
basket
need. Well,
not
a, I'm thinking like an alligator clip off the end of the pulley. Sort of like the cab on the end of a jumper cable. And whether it's a jacket for the jackers or a porn film or maybe just some laundry that needs to be done.
Cup of sugar.
Whatever it is, just boop, slide it right on into your office over there.
I think that's a great
It would work very easily.
Neighborly idea. Used condoms. You know, you just got to get rid of them.
Right.
You don't
want to do
you
that?
You can already see too much of my life. I'm scared. I'm deeply frightened.
Aaron. Aaron's 21.
Yeah, hi. hello to everybody.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
For about 3 weeks, ex-fiancé left me about 3 weeks ago, as I just said. There was a possibility that she had been cheating on me. I had caught her in a way just really, really physically hugging some guy.
If she wasn't cheating, why did she leave?
She said that she needed her time and space, and a lot of which I think was consumed with the fact that she had just started a new job with a lot of pressure in it.
And a new relationship.
Right.
Yeah, and her best friend had just moved in. And we were together for about 2 years.
Yeah. What's the question, though?
How would I go about, like, truly finding out if something had happened? Because I think that if something did happen, she wouldn't tell me because she doesn't want to be on my back, like, you know, on
Aaron,
on, like,
let it go.
Why do you need to know?
Just out of personal curiosity, I guess.
I know, but
I'm just that type of person. But also... I rang her through, with so many, like, fights within, like, the last of it. I mean, I really put her to the test to see if she would break.
Right. Congratulations.
Fantastic.
And,
you did it!
And, she never actually confessed to it.
She held up.
She's smart.
Good. She'd make a good prisoner of war.
I'd be thankful you're, not married at 21.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron.
He doesn't want to be married to you.
Aaron, okay, let me say a couple of things. Just be quiet. You got that 21-year-old guy energy. You want answers to questions you really don't need the answer to. Believe me, if you did find out she was cheating, that would not satisfy you. You'd need to know all the details and who the guy was and the whole bit, and then it would haunt you. Okay? Number two, her work schedule and her new roommate and all that kind of stuff.
BS. We've talked about this a million times. If someone wants to be with you, they will be with you, regardless of the work situation or the roommate situation. Women will make it abundantly clear when they want to be with a man, and that is that will be paramount above and beyond everything else. And if they don't, they won't. And that's
the
bottom line.
You can imagine, though, Adam, Aaron, with that energy, the only way she could get out of that relationship probably was cheating.
Right.
He probably had her locked in. Boy.
Right. And women, because they want to spare guys like Aaron, because they realize guys like Aaron will go off the deep end if they tell him, listen, I'm not in love with you anymore. I'm in love with somebody else. I'm sorry you're hurt, but you have to move on with your life. They start backpedaling when guys like Aaron come on and they go, no, I still love you. No, I need time to think. I'm confused. I got a new roommate. And to compound things, the roommate has a cat. And I think its name is Mittens. I don't know Mittens.
It's stressing me out.
I don't know Mittens from Whiskers. Allegedly an honorary member of the Jackers, which is not a group I'm familiar with. All right. So she wants out. Listen to the actions, everybody, in every facet of life.
Yes.
Your boss can fire you and then tell you to do the work of 10 employees and the greatest person you ever met. But if you're fired, he don't want you around. And it's same with a relationship. Jay, of course, I take none of my own advice in my personal life.
Jay's 26.
What's up, Jay?
Hey. You know, I've been on and off with this girl for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I can't stay in the relationship is because we keep having sex. It sounds crazy. But I really want to save that, because I think it's sacred. I want to save it for marriage.
But you didn't.
Yes. Yeah, but see, I didn't. That's the thing, is I'm all talk and no action, because I talk about this great ideal, and she respects them, because before her mother died, she told her, she said, you're going to be a virgin when you're married.
Oh, the mother before she died?
Yeah, and so Jamie is...
Nice touch.
Yeah, that's nice. By the way, I owe Visa $4,800.
But the point I wanted to make is she's...
Your dad's gay. He killed himself. He didn't die in Nam.
Whatever. She's, she respects...
Yeah, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah. Well,
oh, poor
guy. You know, but it sounds like the two of them are reveling in how full of it they both are.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Jay, how many times would you reckon you've had sex with her?
Oh, 20, 30 times.
Okay.
And
well,
it's not an issue with her. I mean, she believes
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Well, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me is that
yes.
I do have a conviction in my heart that it should be something that is saved for
me. Why don't you see if you can get a little out of your heart and shove it down your pants? You get a little conviction
well,
down
that's
there.
The thing is, I have been, and the thing about it is, I've been all talk and no action. And
yeah. Hey, wait, Jay, are you one of those guys who picks at your hair?
What's that? No, not really.
Now, what's wrong with you?
I just have a very strong set of beliefs.
You have nothing. A very strong set of beliefs.
Well, actually,
Jay, you're whacked out. What's up with you? Are you supposed to be on medication?
No, I went without sex for from 17 to 24.
Yeah, me too, but it wasn't for lack of trying.
And, you know, since it was here, I model, I act, I
oh,
get girls.
Great, all right,
time.
So you're gay. Listen,
I'm not, believe it or not.
Jay, what is wrong with you? Hey, what do people say is wrong with you? There's something up with you. You got some energy. You got some weird energy.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Say? Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, well, what is it?
People say I'm eccentric.
Right.
Yeah.
That's nice for crazy.
Gay.
Have you had to be hospitalized?
Never.
No. Okay.
You ever try to commit suicide?
No.
What about your parents?
Let's see. My dad is a professional athlete. My mom, great lady, raised me with good values.
All right. And
did you ever know your dad?
Yeah, really well. I mean, they were divorced when I was about 5, but I spent every summer with them.
did you have any substance abuse problems or anything like that?
I experimented a little bit when I lived in Aspen.
But that was it, huh?
Yes, but
Because you definitely have some energy and some ideals, and the whole deal is what you actually do and what you think you should do are two totally different things.
But see, now she's behind me, and she wants to support me in it, and we want to go 6 months without...
All right, well, then
do it.
Have
Take
at
the
it.
Stand.
That's the thing, I'm afraid I can't, because every time I'm with her, it's like, we should be doing it.
All right, well, you need to whack off before you see her. You understand?
Isn't that from a movie? I saw that in a movie.
Oh, my God, he doesn't flog the dolphin before a big date.
There you go.
See?
Yeah, well, it's from real. It went all the way back to the caveman days. Men have been doing that. They used to use a rock to masturbate.
Adam, be sure they use clouds. But I notice Adam has a real tough time with people that have firm convictions. Oh, what's wrong with you?
Well,
this is kind of twisted. He was like, I'm conflicted because I have this conviction, but I just don't live up to it at all.
Yeah,
right.
And that's kind of silly. Don't call us about that.
Let me tell you something about actors. Sorry, guys, but
here it comes.
Actors are known for having a lot of bizarre convictions that they don't actually live up to, like guys who are like practicing yoga while they're doing blow and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Hollywood Buddhism.
Yes,
very excited. Where you pray for cars?
For Jaguars,
that's
yes.
a big one.
I had I once had this actor. The guy was on Stingray, was the name of the show. And by the way, we have some people from ABC here. You want to know where the smart money is? Start doing TV shows where guys and cars solve crime. Not just guys.
Yeah.
We've totally eliminated the automobile from the crime-solving equation here. And we all know from watching enough television that if a car has enough gadgets on it, it can be quite an aid in solving these crimes.
Yep.
Also, a few things I want to see. Oh, hold on a second now. I was watching Charlie's Angels tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They, back in the 70s, when you wanted to kill somebody, you had two options. One is... slit the brake lines on the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the second option was turn up the heat in the sauna.
if they took a steam bath, turn it all the way up.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know who manufactured these steam baths, but it was great because it was like, well, 110 is comfortable, but 150 will kill a man. We'll make ours go up to 185. And we'll put a big knob on it. And the lower right-hand corner,
outside,
will say,
yeah.
It'll be red and it'll say danger. And then it'll lock from the outside like a meat freezer. no lawsuit there. That's great. A man's heart will cook over 140. Yours goes up to 185. Fantastic. What manufacturers? So that was like, hey, we got to kill him. We got to get him into the sauna so we can melt him. Mm. There's like a lot of melting people going on and like a lot of tampering with the cars. Remember these brake lines?
Yep,
these
yep.
were cut.
Yeah.
And now, when someone cuts your brake lines the night before, your pedal bottoms out when you're backing out of the goddamn driveway yeah. that night. No. You make it all the way to Pacific Coast Highway. Then you notice on Dead Man's Curve that all of a sudden there's no pressure left in the brake line. But I'd like to see more of that. More cars solving crimes, more brake lines cut, more people being suffocated.
You want to tell us about the actor from Stingray?
The actor from Stingray.
Yes.
I was a carpenter, and this guy was riding high. You know, Stingray is very popular from 1984 to 1984 in 6 months,
was
I think.
Was it Nick Mancuso?
Yes, I think it was.
Oh, my God, I'm good. Who wants to be
Who
a
wants to be
Me.
A
Me. I want to be a friggin' millionaire.
And I went over to this guy's house, and he was that real sort of macho actor guy who had a lot of sort of half-baked notions about spirituality and things like that. And somebody said, you want to build this guy some cabinets? And I said, fine. And he was, like, renting a house out in Malibu. And I went over there, and I said to the guy, all right, well, he said, I want some oak cabinetry. And I said, okay, fine. We'll make our rips at, you know, 16 or 24 because they got to go into 48 evenly because the oak plywood is 48 wide.
Whatever.
And you rip your stuff at 48, and then you put your oak solid oak face frame on it. And
sure.
He's like, no, man. I want solid oak all the way around. And I said, well, you know, if you're doing a cabinet, it's going to be like 24 inches deep. You can't really do that out of solid oak. And he goes, no, I need solid oak. And I said, you know, all those nice cabinets you see at other people's house and in furniture and stuff, that's not solid oak. It's oak veneer with a solid oak bullnose on the front of it. And he goes, no, you don't understand. I don't like the vibrations that come off of plywood, man. I want solid wood because ply has a negative vibration. And I'm like, hey, Nick, you're smoking. You understand? You're holding a cigarette in your hand while you're telling me about the vibrations of the plywood. It's like, yeah. So that's and God knows, doing, you know, like I said, probably going through an eight ball the second I leave the house. It was a big waste of time, and I never ended up doing the job for the guy. But that's my story of actors' retarded spirituality. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up?
You're 17.
Hey,
what's up, Perky?
Okay, well, I want to say hi to everybody from that show. I don't remember.
Thank you.
The Trouble
Fridays
with Normal.
Fridays at 8:30, Jamie.
That's
yeah,
right.
I've been wanting to see it.
It's good.
I was on the tip of my tongue, and I couldn't remember it.
This Friday, 8:30, baby.
Okay, my question is, I masturbate about 4 to 5 times a day, and I can reach an orgasm when I'm with a guy, but I can't when I'm alone.
What are you doing those 4 or 5 times, and how do you know when to stop?
Yeah. I just get, my hand gets tired, and I just stop.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody walks in the room, or...
Or somebody knocks on my door, yes. And I was like, okay.
Well,
why are you going 4 or 5 times a day if you're not having an orgasm?
Because I'll get really wet, and I enjoy that, but, I mean, I can't get anything past that.
Well, does it count really as 4 or 5 times a day, or is just one long one? That's
no,
interrupted by little moments of non...
Little,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Television and food.
Because I usually do it in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, in the...
Jamie, use the S word.
You slipped it in.
Yeah, and apart, my policy is I have to cut people off. I announced it as a policy some weeks back, and then I didn't adhere to it, but now Engineer Anderson is forcing me to. All right, we have never heard this question, by the way. Have we, Drew?
Not really. Not
that, that a woman is not able to achieve an orgasm by masturbating, but has one with men. It's usually
the other way around.
The other way around, right.
Yeah.
At least until you know what you're doing.
Right, yeah. I would, let me start you. Jamie, try the tub.
I tried that. I can't do anything in the tub.
But you got to run the water.
Yeah, you don't do anything.
You can't just get in the tub. I tried that too.
No.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're saying.
I smack my head on the soap dish.
Do you want to tell her how to do it?
With
you,
the tub? No. No, no, I don't. Padgett, you tell her.
Padgett, you tell her how to do it.
Come on, Padgett.
You run, find a good temperature, not too hot, not too cold.
Right.
And run the bath water, not too forcefully.
Right.
And place yourself
right in the middle.
Directly beneath the running water.
Should feel like God's peeing on you.
Try it. That's how lots of friends of mine started.
Right.
Oh!
Sure.
That's interesting, dude. I've never even thought of that.
Yeah, try it, because then it's. I don't mean to make a joke, but it's out of your hands, and you can kind of give over to...
Right.
Let's see, why can't I get to that point?
Well, listen, get in the tub and see what you can do. And didn't you say you were in the tub when I told you to get in the tub before?
No.
Didn't you say you tried that?
I tried just bathing and, you know, whatever, and I shrivel up. I don't know.
But is there something about having an actual guy, like the actual male equipment inside there that changes things?
I think what it is I like the pain part. When a guy's inside of me.
Aha!
Yeah.
The pain or the pressure?
The pressure, whatever. I don't know.
All right. Hey, Jamie?
Yeah?
You got one boyfriend or more than one?
I don't have a boyfriend right now, but okay, I'm going around with a couple people.
Okay, hey,
oh,
baby.
Boy.
Slow
Should
down there. Now, we've gone on too long. Were you ever molested or raped or anything like that?
Oh, never.
What's gotten you? You're a little batty. What happened? Anything? Dad?
I've actually grown up with a Catholic mother, and I don't have a father because I'm adopted. I was adopted when I was 6 months old, and I don't know if anything's happened before I was 6 months old, though.
Okay.
I know my birth mother fed me alcohol in a bottle to shut me up, though.
Nice.
That's a hillbilly. That's great. All right. Hey, listen, baby. Slow down. You're heading for an accident. You understand? You're going to get pregnant. You've been pregnant before?
Oh, God, no, but I thought I was once.
Okay. Just slow down.
Remember how that felt? Remember? It was pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing about all things that involve intercourse. They're forever. Kids, forever.
Yes.
Herpes, forever. Mm-hmm. AIDS, forever. It's all forever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Except for crabs, I mean.
Yeah, crabs.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I mean, that's no big deal, right? But here, they're around. So the point is don't screw up, because it will be forever. All right. Drew?
Yeah.
What do you say, buddy?
Let me take a break.
You do? You want to do that? What do you have to pee?
Yeah.
You do? Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. When you pee, and you pee at a urinal, and they have those holes...
Yeah.
Do you try to see if you can go, like, let's say, two counts in each hole? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure that I'm counting, but I'm definitely going in the holes.
You're going for the holes?
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't focus on one, you try to see if you can get all of them, right?
Yeah, at least a few of them, yeah.
I mean, do you see if you can get all of them? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't go.
Great.
Usually there's a plastic web about. Over part of it.
Right. I know. Well, that's where the skill part comes in.
I'm not going to reach in and move the plastic.
No. You don't reach in, but usually there'll be just, you know, something like toilet brush or something you could use to move it aside so you could hit each hole.
Do you do that? Do you look for the tool in the public restroom to move the plastic dish?
I know.
Pick a particular urinal that doesn't have the plastic dish in the right place.
Right.
And you pee in the holes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll keep going if I stop.
If you had real skill, the force of the stream could actually move the plastic.
Very nice point. If you squeeze really hard.
Thanks, Luke. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back. Well, hey, the show started. It's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That is Drew. John, Larry, and Padgett are all here from The Trouble with Normal, ABC, Friday nights, 8:30, everybody.
God, you're so good at that. Really, we appreciate it.
Well, you know, I understand that people are here to plug their work and their projects, and if you're good and nice and play nice and are good guests like you guys are, I have no difficulty giving them plugs. Drew is over in San Francisco.
What do you want from them, Adam?
He's so manipulative.
I'd like to play a surgeon in an upcoming episode.
Okay.
Sold.
Done. Easy.
I'm at Live 105.
Yes, and you got control of the board there?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to our next victim.
Hold on a second. There we go.
Eric?
Ooh.
Yeah, that was weird. Eric, you're 18. What's up?
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
This is how it goes. I found a diary under my girlfriend's bed that said she had kissed the girl and that she had loved it. But this had happened, like, 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
and, like, all of her friends are, like, bisexual or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it struck me very hard. I took it very, like, personally, you know. Like, not personally, but, like, it was very saddening and stuff.
Saddening.
And, like, well, you know.
How did you stumble across that diary?
Oh, well, I was hiding under her bed because, like, she thought...
one of her bull dyke friends was over. Guys are like cats. The big lesbians come over, you go right under the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or on top of the fridge.
Yeah, because her uncle had gone there or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I just happened to, like, look through her stuff, so I found that.
How long has she been your girlfriend?
Well, we've been on and off for, like, about a year.
How's that work? So you hide under the bed, you're there, and then it's like, hey, what's this? Diary. What's going on? And,
Yeah. First of all, you'll never get around that you read her diary. That's just, it's never, there's never going to be a situation where that's okay. In the argument, trust me, you won't be able to say, but you kissed a girl and liked it, and that will not make up for the fact that you read her diary.
You haven't told her that you read
it. She will lose her mind.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell her you read it?
Yeah, I confronted her with it, like.
Oh, see, and did it sound as wormy as the way I made it sound?
No.
No, really? You sounded better than that?
Excuse me?
What did she say when you told her?
She was, like, surprised and shocked. She was like, why did you read it, this and that? Well, I was like, well, that doesn't matter. You know, you did this and that.
Yeah,
right, but she's thinking it doesn't matter what she did. The fact was you read her diary, which was private.
Well, not really. Well, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is
really.
This is two people that should not be in a relationship right now.
She had drawings of her with a lesbian that you interpreted. Like you're looking at the inside of a cave somewhere in Africa. I mean, for Christ's sake. Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
Listen, you're too young for a relationship. You're a goofy guy. Just relax. How old is she?
She's confused.
She's 17.
All right.
She's confused. She's trying to figure herself out.
No, but hold on, though.
All right.
Because, like, okay, I know, like, we're really in touch with each other. I mean, like, we love each other a lot, if you can call it love. And, like...
Well...
No, I'm calling it love.
Well, because some older people don't consider teenage love real love, whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's turned to a Ricky Nelson song. But go ahead. Yeah, who wants to be a millionaire now?
There's a reason. There's a reason, though, that us older folks, us old fogies, us people who look down on the rock and roll, the sinful music... The reason why is because we were there, and we later find out that it was barely the tip of the iceberg.
Right, right.
And trust me, it feels great while you're in it, but it's delusional.
All right. Well, listen, it's just mellow out. I know that doesn't sound like advice, but just relax a little bit, buddy. All right. My screen just went black here.
Greg 27. There's a plug in the back that is real loose.
I see. All right. Greg, you're 27, are you?
Yeah.
Write that down. All right, what's up, buddy?
So the screen will turn right back on again. Just push that plug in tighter.
John did it.
Yeah, my phone keeps getting kind of disconnected a little bit.
I did that to you. I'm sorry.
I thought I was going to get canned there.
What's your question?
Well, I initially had a question on tantric sex, but I wanted to first ask about if there's any way that guys can use this little tub technique.
Ah, well, guys can use any technique. They can use any appliance. They can use a blender.
No, they can't.
I was so intrigued by this, the big giant faucet thing.
Yeah, here's how guys use the tub technique. They get a chick to do it, and then they whack off while they're watching.
Okay, that's how
the tub works for the guys. Oh, hell yes, that would work. Of course. I'd be done. I'd be like, sorry, baby. Hey, you're close to the towel rack. Can I have one of those towels? Hey, I'm going to be watching TV. I don't know when the water turns off, you're done. So that's cool. Just come on in.
I was wondering, some buddies of mine have told me kind of some things they do for tantric sex, like with putting their penis in a little bit. And taking it out, and then what's the whole deal?
That's just
delaying ejaculation. That's all. They're just trying to make things last longer.
And a lot of the time, those tantric, sex things are thrust hard one time and then soft three times. Right. And most of what that does is just distracts you from the fact that you're boning some hot chick.
Right.
And what that does is it delays it, and often you'll have a more powerful one because you delayed it.
Huh.
Yeah, I
what's like the there like a given technique?
No.
Well, Drew, what is it? I mean, I've tried that technique. Put in a little, you pull out, then it's a hard one, then it's a soft one, but eventually the guy's ass gets sore.
And you lose count.
No. Drew, what is this tantric sex? I mean, how do you actually do it in a sting sort of way, you know?
I don't know what they do, but I know that it... No, I mean, there's books on it that people can follow, but I'm sure it's not anything... I mean... Look, the focus on your other partner, on the intimacy, that's much more important and fulfilling than the mechanical aspects.
And we make our pizza analogies every once in a while.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Pizza is very good. And sure, you could eat one slice and then stare at it for 15 minutes before you ate your second slice. And the second slice may be a little more gratifying because waited the 15 minutes. whatever weird ritual you wanted to do. But the reality is it's not going to get much better. It's good the way it is. Just eat up.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Thank you. Scott?
Find a new position. It's called intimacy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Drew, it's Drew getting very sanctimonious on it. New position. It's called intimacy. You know, but what he really was talking about is where it's kind of like 69. But Drew calls it intimacy.
You gotta put the feet up on the mantle. And
yeah, it's sort of the wheelbarrow 69, and it's Drew... dubbed it intimacy. It's like a perfume. You know?
Maybe the missionary position?
Oh, that's, well, who knows more about sex than the macho man, Randy Savage. All right, Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to use a lot of drugs in the past.
Sorry.
Oh, listen, Chad.
And I had a total sex drive and everything, and then I stopped using, and all I do is smoke weed now, and... Since that time, like, every time a situation, like, it, you know, I think about, like, girls, but every time, like, it's about to happen, like, I'm about to give the girl or something, I just instantly, like, it seems, like, disgusting to me. Like,
What drugs were you doing?
Huh?
What drugs?
I used to do heroin and speed and, you know, drink and acid, you know.
All right, well, you're smoking a lot of pot now, then.
Gram and a half a day.
Look, you're just maintaining your addiction with marijuana, and if you've been a heroin addict, switch over to pot. You got to smoke a lot of pot to maintain it, and absolutely that will shut your sex drive down to nothing. But also, you can have damage with the speed and possibly even with the LSD that can cause some sexual dysfunction also.
But I would say it's being baked constantly.
Yeah, the main thing is the pot right now.
Do you think if, like, I stop smoking weed, like, it'll just all come back?
I can't promise you, as I said, there's some issues with LSD and speed, but it should come back, but it'll take at least 6 months, and I guarantee you won't stop without treatment. Mathematical guarantee.
All right. So, Scott, you got to get yourself some help, all right? Go to MA or something?
Yeah, he needs some more than that, I suspect. But,
really?
You can certainly start there.
Hey, John, do you smoke any pot? I'm just curious.
I have not in years. No. I had a not great pot experience, and so I stopped.
Do you keep a stash around the house?
No.
I'm just saying in case, you know.
I know, in the middle of the night.
John, I need to pinch some, brother. Oh, I'm sorry, did I wake the kid? Sorry, bro.
Fire up the bong, honey. You know, it's never been my thing. Despite the fact that fans, twice this has happened to me, fans have walked up to me and placed buds in my hand and said, dude, if you ever need anything. But I don't. I just, I don't smoke.
All right.
It's not my thing.
Noted.
Adam, have we ever had two Todds in one night?
No, we have not. And this is
Here
the
we
second
go.
One. Todd,
to.
You're 24.
Yeah, hi. This question is for Adam. And I was just curious. I've been watching a few adult movies lately. And I was just curious, like, it seems like, the more updated porno seem like to be more with a lot of anal sex. I was just curious.
There's the trend toward anal, sure.
Yeah, and I was...
I have a pie chart at home I could show you. Now, you see clearly here in the 60s, this brown slice represented anal, you clearly, 9%, very small portion of the adult industry was done anal. Now, as you move forward to the 70s and early 80s, you see the brown slice growing to 32%, which you see is almost a third of the adult business being anal. Now, if I could turn your attention to overhead projector over here, by 98, it had grown to 79%.
Now, you see, that quite a bit of knowledge about
right.
it, so
sure.
I was just curious about I was just curious, like...
Well, my thesis in junior college is written on anal, and it's a relation to the adult film industry.
All right. No, but anyways, I was just curious, because it seems pretty painful for the female, you know, so I was just
right.
curious
well.
if it was more pleasurable for the female or for the male, or what was your take on it?
In the porn industry or just in general life?
In general life.
Well,
I never experienced it, and I was just kind of curious because it seems kind of painful on the movies for the women.
Yeah.
And I was just curious if it was or not, or what was your take on it? Or the female guest that you have there, what was her take on it as well?
Well, Paige and I were discussing this during the last commercial
yeah,
break.
Yeah, we took 5 minutes and actually talked about just this.
Yeah.
That's funny you called, Todd.
She called it cornholing, but I knew what she meant.
What was that?
All right, well, we'll put time. Well, you know, I like those talk shows where they go, I'll hang up and listen to the answer now. How come none of our guys hang up on themselves? You know what I'm talking about? They always do it all those other talk shows. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I don't know. Some women enjoy this, right, Paget? Your friends that masturbate in the tub, perhaps?
I do. No, I don't, personally.
Right.
But
you got burnt out on it?
Yeah. I used to do a lot of cornholing, and now I...
Put that on a card.
Well, check the chart.
I've taken it down to it. No, I was surprised. I have a female friend who enjoys it more than what I would consider normal
right.
Sex,
really?
And that is surprising to me. But, I don't think the women in... porno films necessarily are in pain.
No.
I think these are people that have physically...
They're trained professionals.
They're almost like professional athletes in that they have graduated from a larger and larger device in order to be able
right.
to handle
right.
sometimes even more than one.
Right.
I'm scared. I'm kind of frightened by how much Paget knows about this.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
I'm not frightened.
She did her homework.
Yeah.
Parents were teachers. So specialized in
cornholing.
Special ed.
No. But I do think it is... painful, if
yeah.
I imagine, you know, it is.
It's
painful,
one of those
and it's something you
yeah.
want to ask very nicely about, and I think you want to spend some time working towards that as
you
a,
know,
as
actually,
a goal.
Adam, yeah. you weren't here that night. We had, was it Stacey Valentine in there? And she was talking about this, and she talks about how she had to use graduated, like, devices.
Right. She started with my penis and worked up to Ron Jeremy.
But again, that falls into the kind
I
of naughty category where some women
right.
like that it's not the normal thing.
Here would be my assessment of it. I would say that a small percentage of women, probably in the 5 to 8% range, really dig it, and then the other 95 to 92% hate it as much as
yeah.
the 8 or 5% really
right.
dig it. So unless you luck into that 5%, you're probably barking up the wrong tree. Okay, thank you. Drew, you want to take a break?
Yep.
All right, we will do that. We have the cast from the Trouble with Normal. 8:30, everyone, Friday nights, ABC. Find out what all the talk is about. And we'll be back after this. You mateys.
Oh, no.
I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. We have Larry, John, and Paget all here from the Trouble with Normal. ABC, everyone, Friday nights. That'll be the night after tomorrow, 8:30, right? And smack dab in the middle of, are they calling it something? I mean, it used to be TGIF. Is
now
it
they're
something?
Calling it, yep. It's Friday. Swear to God.
Really?
Wish I was kidding.
Genius.
Are they really?
Get on that mic.
Sorry.
John.
I'm
That's
forgetting.
Right. Are they calling it? Yep, it's Friday?
It's the first time John's done this show, by the way. So.
Yeah. I was born and raised on this show. I'm a troll in the studio. I never leave. I never leave the building.
Well, John, you've been in the business for quite some time. I mean, right? I mean, how old were you when you first started going in this business?
I first started going. I was 4.
Uh-huh. And then you stopped.
I was that kid. I was that kid on the Brady Bunch who they brought in when the ratings were sagging. The little
Oliver
kid. I was Oliver. No, I'm kidding. That was Robbie Rist. I am going on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I'm going to. But okay, now who can tell me the name?
Nick Mancuso.
No. Wait, we talked about this. The kid who was on the Partridge Family, the other kid that they brought in when the show was dying, and he sang those songs. His name was Ricky something.
Ricky,
I don't know.
Oh, yes.
I've opened up a can of worms now. But my point being, I was four, and I did a commercial. That was when I started, and so there you go.
All right, Drew?
Yep.
How old were you when you got in this?
It was a fetus.
Have you got in yet? I'm not sure if you're in. Are you in
now?
I'm not in.
I'm still not in.
Kim?
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up?
Hi. I had a question about HPV.
Right.
I had warts, a friend that contracted it about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know how it's spread. Like, is it just sexually?
Yes. Almost exclusively, yes.
Oh, okay. That's just about it.
And again, there's a lot more information coming about the warts these days, that there are certain subtypes that may go away, may have for 3 to 5 years or so, and then spontaneously they resolve. And the people that have that particular subtype are not necessarily at such high risk of, say, cervical cancer as those for whom the warts persist. And there's good evidence that anal warts also, genital warts that get to the anal region, can put people at risk for anal cancer.
Nice.
It's just hard to find, like, information on it. Like, we were trying to find it because he can't get much on it. So it's really...
Check out tons of it at drdrew.com about it.
Yeah, that's where we looked.
And we didn't have any information about it?
Well, they did, but just not, like how it was spread and, like, a lot of detail and stuff.
Well, plus there's going to be that big Fox anal warts Christmas special.
Right. I was
so
up
you can
for,
wait for that.
I was up for the part of one of the warts, actually. I said I was too tall.
Oh, goodness.
We need guys, but we need guys 5'8 and under, they said, to play the warts. But the testicles were still open. We were looking pretty seriously at DiCarlo. But he may be in Vancouver working on a project.
Yeah.
And if he is, you can play one of the sacks.
Gabriel.
Right, can you dance?
Gabriel?
Gabriel, 18. Gabriel, you're 18. What's going on?
About 4 months ago, I had a really good friend that was helping me out because I was going through a lot of trouble. And me and her got really close. And when my troubles climaxed, I had quite a bit of problems. I actually lost it, and I had to leave work, and I had to leave the area for a while and get taken care of by the doctor.
Is he talking about sex, or is he talking about...
Lost at climax.
Something else.
Yeah, so did you have a nervous breakdown?
It was a combination of that, and a really close friend of mine was acquitted for being a child molester.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just emotional stress, really.
Okay, so this girl saw you through the tough times.
Wait a minute, He's using a lot of euphemisms here. Were you hospitalized?
I was wrongfully diagnosed as mentally ill, actually. I got it cleared through a doctor at home.
All right, Gabriel, were you hospitalized?
No.
You did not go to a psychiatric hospital?
No.
You did not go to an emergency room?
No.
Okay, why didn't you just say no then?
Yeah, then who gave you that diagnosis and how did that happen?
I didn't know I was being evaluated by a psychiatrist. And,
was he a TV repairman or something?
I
it happens.
What was that?
You've seen Mission Impossible. They come in posing as the cable guy.
What was that, Gabriel?
I didn't know I was being evaluated, so I didn't give her all the information I was supposed to give her. And so she assumed a lot.
Where were you being evaluated?
I worked at a Boy Scout camp. And so they weren't being very easy, and they didn't want to take any chances.
All right.
So the camp had you evaluated?
Yes.
Nice.
Not at a hospital?
No.
Okay. Well, don't they have those field vans? Yeah, I've seen them around town, the psychiatric evaluation mobile.
And what was the diagnosis they gave you?
Not seen those? Or maybe that's Pink Dot. I can't remember. It's one of the
other. Grocer.
Oh, Home that's grocer. What it is.
Gabriel,
I'm going to rape one of those trucks if I get stoned and get behind one. Once I'll jump out of my car while it's still moving and onto the roof, cut into it like a can opener and drop down inside. That'd be great. All right, so listen, Gabriel, what do you want? What's up?
Well, my diagnosis was cleared, but this friend of mine, she got really scared and... basically shut herself off from me.
You're insane.
And,
yes.
It's been at least 3 months, and I haven't been able to talk to her still, and she just won't talk to me at all, and I was curious, you know, what could I do to...
How did she find out about it?
Well, she was with me through a lot of it.
Okay, listen. The only way that you're going to cure this is to draft a very long, rambling Unabomber-type letter to her.
A manifesto.
A manifesto, if you will. Preferably written on, you know those Little Debbie snacks? Write it on the cardboard.
The cardboard from the bottom of the... Yeah.
Right.
He's
okay.
Onto something.
Okay, listen.
But listen, he
is a little nutty.
There's something going on with him. And
right.
When people have intense emotional disturbances, they often lose their insight. They aren't aware what they've done or aren't how they're perceived.
Well, isn't that part of being nuts?
Yeah.
Isn't it a big part? You know what I mean? It's not being able to step out of yourself and take a look at what your actions are.
But by the way...
And psychiatrists are used to elusive historians, and they know how to make those evaluations. And by the time he got home, the crisis may have passed.
Okay, so...
So we're all just pretty much assuming that the guy is, in fact, a little crazy, which might, by the way, be driving him a little crazy.
Well...
I mean, you know, everybody assuming...
He lacks insight.
You know. Our advice is, if she ain't talking to you, she ain't talking to you.
Yeah.
Move on.
That's that.
Ron?
Yes.
You're 25. What's up?
Yeah, I've been engaged with my fiance now for a little bit over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a small penis, but she tells me that I don't, and I don't know. I always think she's lying to me.
Right. Well, she
Why
is.
Why 2 years?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This sounds like a great girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big is it?
I don't know. We measured it one time, and it was like 6.5.
Oh.
Listen, I am so... sick and effing tired of these guys calling in with their alleged small penises that measure bigger than mine.
Yeah.
I want to take a knife to these guys. I know, it's like, oh, my friends made fun of me. I was a laughing stock of Jewish camp. Blah, 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 blah. And then you got a good quarter inch on me. All right.
But 3.5 inches.
How dare you.
But the real thing is, guys that are preoccupied this way, especially where it's a distortion, it's not reality, it's a symbol of their esteem, of their stature, quite literally. And they
right.
really need to get to work on themselves and their lives. And
right.
for the penis is just a symbol of something else.
So he wanted to hear it from us that he
yes.
was just fine, too.
No.
Huge.
Yes. And
massive.
Yes, you could kill a woman. But here's the point. Women don't care so much about this. It's a factor, but if you harp on it, it's more the sort of insecurity that they're bothered by.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back. All right, that is it, everybody. I want to thank Padgett, Larry, and John for all coming in here. The Trouble with Normal, right? This is what do they call that in TV? This is...
Must-see?
No. This is something viewing. They call that thing... appointment.
Wired. Appointment.
Appointment viewing. Yes, you make an appointment, you call ABC.
TiVo.
They issue you a number. There's a lottery type thing that goes on Friday afternoon. You stay by your AM or ham radio. They'll alert you as to whether you qualify to watch a show or not.
Let's thank the guys up here live 105, too, in San Francisco.
No.
Yes,
please.
Ask them. They were horrible.
Hey, one of our affiliates has been with us at the beginning.
Yes. God bless Live 105. And, Drew, where are you going to be tomorrow night? You going to be back?
Right here.
Oh, you're back at Live 105?
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So kudos to them, and thanks to you guys. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I just gave him a blowjob. Whoops.